for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Exit Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 30th, 2003. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James Mitchell is the minister of the morning.
Well, I'll introduce to you this morning Brother James Mitchell from over Dale Copeland's assembly. And he's an able minister of the Lord, and we're just glad for him to come and minister and teach this morning. And so if you'll come, Brother James, we'll turn the rest of the morning to you. And when you're concluded, you say amen and bless the food for us, and we'll have lunch.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. It's a privilege. I want to introduce my wife. She got an introduction earlier, but just we've been married for 23 years today, and I just want to formally introduce her.
Thank you for visiting us on your anniversary.
Hallelujah. We have four children. Charity is the oldest, and Josiah is next, and then Reese is third, and then we have a baby that's 2 months old, Matthew. The Lord's good to us.
Amen.
I'm glad to have a family. I'm glad that that there is a heritage that I will be giving to my children that they would give to their children, so that it'll be a godly seed that will continue. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I hope that you come expecting this morning to receive from the Lord, because, you know, if you expect something from the Lord, you're going to get it. I'm not confident in myself, but I'm confident in He who lives in me. I'm confident of Christ in me that is the hope or the expectation of glory. Hallelujah. I entitled this message today, No Rest Till You Get the Rest. And that'll make more sense to you here just shortly. But if you would, you got your sword of the Word of God with you. If you'll open to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, we're going to start reading in the first verse. And we're going to look at a historical event, but we're going to apply some principles to our lives today. Hallelujah. David, just a little bit of things that were going on at this time right before this. Of course, we know that David had been anointed king, although he hadn't taken that position because King Saul was still in place. And David had become King Saul's armor bearer. And after a while, King Saul had become so jealous of David that he had set out to kill him, and he chased him all over the country. Well, David ended up over in the land of the Philistines. And he had actually decided to serve Achish, the king of Gath, which was part of once the land in the land of the Philistines. But whenever the armies of Saul had gotten together and the Philistines had gotten together, they were fixing to go to war, and there was some of the leaders were concerned of David and his men being in the land of the Philistines. David was planning on fighting with the Philistines against them. But he told that King Achish, the leaders told that the lordship of the Philistines told him that he needed to go back to his place, which he had given him, Ziklag. And that's where his wives and his children were. Anyway, as they returned, we're going to find out what happens when they get back there. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that they were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. This wasn't a very good homecoming, was it? Come home and all the family had been taken. Everything that you possessed had been lost. And it said that then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I want you to notice a point that happened here. It said that they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. When you look at the loss, it will leave you lifeless. When you look at the circumstances that are adverse to you, it will leave you lifeless. Next verse it says, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Verse 6, and it says, and David was greatly distressed. Well, I can imagine so. Coming home and everything burnt with fire and that taken. And it says, for the people spake of stoning him. Not only did he run into all these circumstances, but even the men that were with him were ready to stone him because they were looking at the loss, weren't they? And it goes on to say, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. You can look at your loss and you'll be left lifeless, or you can look to the Lord and receive life. So David chose to encourage himself in the Lord. I can imagine that David might be thinking back and looking back on his life and thinking, well, you know, I was in the camp of Saul whenever the Philistines had their battle lines drawn against the children of Israel, and Goliath was coming out every day, and David came upon the scene, and he had decided that he would go out, and King Saul allowed him to go out against Goliath. But you know, he told him, he said, you come at me with a spear and a sword, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. You know, David knew something. He knew that the battle was the Lord's. And so David went out in the name of the Lord. We know what happened. He slew Goliath, didn't he? Well, not only that, after he had cut his head off and they had pursued the Philistines, they smote them and destroyed them. And David's thinking, well, God, He, in this situation, He took care of me. In these circumstances where Israel is backed up against the wall, if you will, He took care of him. You can see when you start looking back and seeing God's faithfulness, you can encourage yourself in the Lord, can't you? Think, my God, we were backed up against the wall, but God came through. We were backed up against the Red Sea, but He parted the Red Sea so that we could go through it so He could destroy the enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. Seventh verse is said, and David and Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me thither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. I want you to notice, David asked, shall I pursue and shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered and says, you shall pursue and you shall overtake them. But he went on. The Lord always goes a step farther, doesn't he? Even that which we ask or think. All right. Did you see what it says in the next phrase? It says, and without fail, recover all. Praise God that He's not only going to pursue, overtake, but He's going to recover all. That's our God. Our God is the God that recovers all. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave things undone. He doesn't leave things just a pursuit and an overtaking, but He recovered all. Hallelujah. Let's go on. It says, oh, actually, I want to make a couple of comments if you're taking notes for future reference about pursuing. If you're going to pursue, there's two things that it's going to be It's going to be aggressive, and you're going to have to become and be diligent. We'll have to be aggressive. If we want the mountain to be moved, we're going to have to be aggressive in that mountain being moved, won't we? And if we're going to be diligent, we're going to have to stay focused, and we're going to have our heart fixed that we stay in there until the mountain gets moved. It says in Proverbs 12 and 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. That's because the diligent stays focused. Hallelujah. The diligent is aggressive. Proverbs 10 and 4, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Overtake. If you're going to overtake, you're going to have to be more committed to your pursuit than the enemy is in their flight.
All right.
You're going to have to be more committed, aren't you? My God. Lord, help us to be committed.
Amen.
And not to an insane asylum, but to you. Praise the Lord. Recover all. Praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 9. It says, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. This is, if you're just reading through there real quickly, you'll miss something very important here. It says that they came to the brook Besor. Guess what Besor means? It means cheerful. Seems like a strange place to be coming to when you come home and the city's been burned with fire and the wives have been taken and the children have been taken and all that you had been spoiled. But they come to the brook Besor and there were some that wasn't able to cross over it. But let me tell you, who was able to cross over it? Those that encouraged themselves in the Lord. Not those that looked to their problems, because when you look at your problems, you will be left lifeless, won't you? When you look to your loss, you'll be left lifeless. But when you look to the Lord, it brings life. 10th verse, it says, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men abode behind, which were so faint that they could never go over the brook Besor. It reminds me of the scripture that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. You know what? In whatever circumstance that you're in, whatever situation you're facing, a merry heart does good like a medicine. That's not for when the sun's shining and everything's going right that you have a merry heart, even though a lot of times that's when people have a merry heart. But the Scripture says a merry heart does good like a medicine. Well, it does good like a medicine in adverse situations when you don't feel like smiling, when you don't feel like being cheerful, when you don't feel like laughing. Hallelujah. They didn't have anything to laugh about, but they had the joy of the Lord. What does the Scripture say? It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You're not rejoicing in the adverse circumstances and situations. You're rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. That just depends on where your focus is, whether you're going to be able to cross over Besor or not. If your focus is on the Lord or if it's on your situations and circumstances. Let's go, we're going to divert from here for just a moment. We're going to go over to Exodus. I want to share some things about, and we're going to be coming back to 1 Samuel 30 because we're not going to leave this story at this point. But let's go to Exodus, the 10th chapter and the 7th verse. As we pursue, overtake, and recover all, I want to look at a situation where the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. You're very familiar with this. We're going to read through verse 9. And it says, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Now I want you to just focus for just a minute. It says, let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go, with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Let's skip down to verse 11. Pharaoh says, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. I want you to see a principle here. Is that Pharaoh said, take your men and go. Moses said, we're going to take our men, our women, our children, our flocks, our herds. Moses wasn't willing to compromise. But you know what the enemy would like for you to do? He would like for you to compromise. He would like to give you a portion and then you just go on. But you know what? That's against the principle to pursue, to overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. Let's go on. It says, let's drop down to verse 24 in that same chapter. There's lots of things we know that's going on, and you know the stories of the different plagues and so forth. It says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go with you. Well, after some things of persuasion from the Lord, he's decided to give a little bit more. How many knows that this would be another opportunity to give in to comfort, to give in to your comfort? See, because you remember at the beginning of that, whenever they came and they asked Pharaoh, and then they put the workload, they doubled the workload, they started making them do their own straw. See, things, the enemy started making things very uncomfortable. But you know what? Moses wasn't going to compromise because he had a word from the Lord. Already, he didn't have a word from the Lord that the men were going to get to go, but all the children of Israel, hallelujah, and their belongings. Let's go to Exodus 12 and 29. Then we're going to go back to Samuel. Exodus 12, 29, we're going to read through verse 32. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead, or not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. Hallelujah. Don't you know it was as he had said? Our profession of faith is important. Whenever we speak the word of God and profess that, and don't back off of that, don't move off of that, because how many knows the word of God is unchangeable? It's not going to move, but you can move off of it. And the enemy would love for you to compromise just a little bit, just a little bit. But because of Moses' unwillingness to compromise, they not only left Egypt with all that, what they do, they borrowed from the Egyptians, is how King James says it. But they gave them their gold, their silver. They was glad to get them to leave, and they gave them their wealth to go with it. My, how would you like to have looked back and compromised and just taken the men and went when you had a chance to get out? Look how short you would have been. How short-changed you would have been from what the Lord would have. Because the Lord knew what they was going to do, how they were going to come out of there. Were they going to stay trusting in God to bring them out? Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 Samuel, get back to our story about David and Ziklag. I'm just going to kind of summarize verses 11 through 15, and then we're going to pick back up, and I'll start reading in 16. But as David and them had started to pursue the Amalekites, they had come upon a servant that his master had left him because he had gotten sick. And just to make a long story short, after inquiring of him where they were, they got information to where the Amalekites were so that David and them could continue their pursuit. How many knows God left them? Where you have divine pursuit, you've got divine provisions. God, they didn't know when they left how they were going to find them. And we don't always know whenever we leave somewhere how we're going to find our way. But as we trust in Him, as we trust in God, we can be assured that He will point the way. Hallelujah. 16th verse. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. I don't know about you, but I think I'd have been a little bit agitated, I think, as I had come upon this side of all the drinking and dancing and all the celebrating with my stuff. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to smite the Amalekites. It goes on, and it says in verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David only got part of it back. That's not what it said, did it? It said, and David, because he encouraged himself in the Lord. And David, because he could cross over the brook Besor. Hallelujah, because his joy was in the Lord and because his trust was in the Lord to bring these things back, not in his abilities, recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. In verse 19 it says, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. What did the Lord say when David came and he inquired, shall I pursue and shall I overtake? And the Lord comes back and says, yes, you shall pursue. Yes, you shall overtake, but without fail shall recover all. See, he had a word of the Lord. It wasn't even in part of his asking, was it? But he had a word of the Lord. And how do you know if the Lord says that without fail you can recover all, guess what? Without fail, you can recover all in His strength, can't you? Hallelujah. I don't want to just leave this at a historical event that took place in David's lives, but I would ask us today, as people of the New Covenant, do we have the health? Do we have the prosperity? Do we have the peace? Do we have the joy that has been promised into this new covenant? If we do not have all the peace, if we don't have all the joy, if we don't have all the health, if we don't have all the things that Jesus had died to provide, then you know what we're going to have to do? Three things. This is not for the faint at heart. If you're the faint at heart, then you're going to camp on this side of the brook Besor. But there's three things that you're going to do. You're going to pursue, you're going to overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. Peace. Is there peace from the Prince of Peace, or is there disarray from the devil? Joy. Have you entered into the joy of the Lord, or are you faint with sorrow? Unity. Do we have the unity that the Scripture holds for the body of Christ, for our marriage and for our family? Prosperity. Are you financially able to do all in the kingdom of God that you would like to do? Are you just struggling to stay afloat? Are you the borrowers or are you the lenders? If you're not the lenders, then you need to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Because there is a wealth laid up for the righteous from the unrighteous. And it's ours. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Dominion. Are we the head or are we the tail? Are we trampling on snakes and scorpions Are we suffering from their bites and their stings? Hallelujah. If we are suffering from their bites and their stings, like the Amalekites had come and spoiled, then we need to pursue and we need to overtake and we need to recover all. Hallelujah. Health. Are we receiving? Important word. Are we receiving the healing that Jesus paid for by His stripes? Or is our health so poor we struggle just to survive day by day? We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord so we can cross over. You know what? There's an encouraging scripture in Philippians 4 and 13 that says, what? I can do all things. It didn't say I can do some things. It didn't say whenever the adversity and some of the things that come against you get real bad that you can take care of most of it or part of it. But it says I can do all things through Christ. See, it's not about you. It's not about David. It was about the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. And the battle is still the Lord's. Amen. And the victory is still the Lord's. And the victory is still for God's people. Yes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Romans 8 and 37 it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And in 2 Timothy 1 and 7 it says, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You know what? If a person doesn't have a sound mind, they need to pursue, don't they? Hallelujah. They need to find out in Scriptures that you have the mind of Christ. They need to find out what God has provided and what He has recovered through Jesus Christ so that you can pursue, overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. Jesus on the cross. How many knows He was our Redeemer? You know what Redeemer means? Bought back, doesn't it? It's been purchased for us. That which man lost, Jesus bought back. Do you think that He bought back part of it? Or do you think He bought it all back? Do you want part of it? Do you want some of it? Do you want most of it? Or do you want all of it? You know what you're going to have to do? Three things. You're going to have to pursue, to overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. The victory has been won. I am preaching and will always preach that the victory is in Jesus. And it's already been won 2,000 years ago when He made an open show of principalities and powers. But you know what? Until that becomes a part of your walk life, then that's just a historical event. But when it is, whenever you stand on the Word of God, it becomes your victory in whatever adversity that you face. I read in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 that according... See, I've got something to base this redemption on. He's given us His Word to stand on. It says, according as His divine power... I read in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 that according... See, I've got something to base this redemption on. He's given us His Word to stand on. It says, according... as His divine power, 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called unto us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. See, you've got to be partakers. Hallelujah. In the victory. I like what I heard a preacher say one time. God will always put victory within your grasp, but He won't put it in your hand. That's because you have some responsibility in it, don't you? He put victory before David, didn't He, with Goliath? But He didn't smote Goliath. David did, didn't He? I understand. The battle was the Lord's. And He did it in the Lord, but David had something to do. That ye by these might be partakers of the divine nature. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some No, it says with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And in Romans 8, 31 and 32, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for who? For us all. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't go to the cross to die for Himself. He came to the, or went to the cross so that He could be delivered up for us all. So what? It could be recovered all. That which was lost. That which Adam lost. In the fifth chapter of Romans, you can read through that and you can see a good picture. Adam lost it. Jesus recovered it. By man, sin entered into the world. By one man. And guess what? Righteousness was brought back by one man. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't want to settle for less. I don't want to settle for some. I don't want to settle for part, but I want it all. Hallelujah. All that the redemption means. And you know what that is going to require? We're going to have to search the Scriptures diligently to see what's in there to be recovered. What is supposed to be ours? How can you pursue, overtake, and recover all if you don't even know what all the all is? You've got to know. Hallelujah. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My goodness, this was at a great price. Jesus didn't pay the price. Jesus was the price. God gave His only begotten Son. Just like Moses wouldn't compromise, but insisted that they leave Egypt with all of theirs. Moses was a type of Jesus, wasn't he? Egypt was a type of sin. Pharaoh was a type of Satan. Moses was their deliverer. Can you tell me who our deliverer is? Hallelujah. Moses wouldn't compromise. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. Jesus won't compromise and didn't compromise. In 1 John 3 and 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 2 and 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Praise God, I tell you, just like whenever the children of Israel started coming out of Egypt and Pharaoh said to pursue them and they were backed up against the Red Sea, and it looked like they were between a rock and a hard place, if you will. They looked like that if they looked at, you remember what I said earlier? If you look at your loss, it'll leave you lifeless. And see, when they were looking at Pharaoh's chariots coming, they were looking at their future loss. They were looking at that they were going to be destroyed. But you know what God had in mind? They were backed up against the Red Sea, and when Moses held that rod out and the Red Sea was parted and they crossed the Red Sea, He told them that, Pharaoh, you will see no more in his armies. And you know what happened? The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and guess what happened to those that were pursuing the enemy? Can anybody tell me? They drowned in the sea. Hallelujah. Does it look like in a circumstance or a situation of adversity that you have in your life? Does it look like you've been backed up against the Red Sea? Good news. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed him that had power over death, even the devil. Hallelujah. He has the victory and He's made us more than conquerors. Praise God. And there is nothing that's impossible to him that believes. Praise the Lord. But you got to know what to believe for. You got to find out what God has recovered for us. And Jesus, He spoiled the principalities and powers. He nailed the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, to the cross. And He made an open show of principalities, didn't He? And powers. Praise God. And we have to walk in that victory. We have to pursue, overtake, if a person is... Let me add a note that I didn't mention early on. The Amalekites were the ones that burned Ziklag, where David's wife were and where his children's stuff were. Three chapters earlier, in I think it's in the 27th chapter, if I remember right, David had defeated, he and his men had already defeated the Amalekites. And then they had retaliated at Ziklag. Has anybody ever seen where cancer, somebody is battling cancer, and the cancer goes into remission? And it looks like that cancer is dead. It looks like it's out of the way, and then it comes back. Kind of like the Amalekites. David had defeated them, and they came back, and they were spoiling. But you know what God would say? He would say, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. And see that enemy destroyed, because Jesus has already destroyed all that is adverse to us. That's good news. Hallelujah. We've got a covenant that the old covenant had no glory in comparison to this new covenant. My, we need to find out what we've got, don't we? Hallelujah. Praise God. The preaching of the cross, it's foolish. It's to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved. That word saved is delivered, protected. But unto us, I like how, I think it's the New American Standard says that. It says, but unto us which are being saved, because it is a process. Because it is a recovery process, even though it's been recovered. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. See, it's not your power. And if you're looking to your power, you will weep until you're faint, till you can't go on. But if you're looking to God's power, my goodness, there is no limitations. There's no adversity. I don't care if it's turmoil. I don't care if it's division. I don't care if it's illness and death. There is no adversity that Jesus has not taken care of. Praise the Lord, and that we need to recover all. Hallelujah. If you don't remember my name, if you don't remember my wife's names or my children's names, I think you'll remember to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope that there were some things that said that have blessed you. And I hope that I have stirred up your pure minds. I hope I've stirred you up and encouraged you. And if you're facing financial situations, it just looks like you're going down for the last time. It doesn't have to be so. It doesn't have to be so. My goodness, the wealth. I know the prosperity message has been taken out of context in some things. I understand that. But I still want to be wealthy, because I still have lots of things I want to do in the kingdom of God. But since you don't know me, I'll have to qualify that statement. When I say lots of things I'd like to do, I mean by the leading of the Lord. I'm not talking about just going out and starting doing things on my own. But by that which God has said. How many times is there things you just would love to? We're going to be building the Kingdom Priest is building a camp over near Bengal, Oklahoma. It's going to take a lot of money to build it. And I'm giving, but I want to give more. I want to be financially able to give more. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that would like prayer? Anybody who would like, is there an illness, sickness? Something that you would like to pursue. I would like to pursue it with you. You would? I want to lay hands on you. Hallelujah. The Lord does the healing. I cannot do a thing. But the Christ that's in me, He's an expectation of the glory of God, isn't He? Hallelujah. All right. Okay. And you want to recover all of them? Thank you. I think Jesus has already provided, hasn't He? By His stripes. Would you put your hand on you? And I'm going to put my hand on top of your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have, my God, You have provided the healing by the stripes You bore, by the price You paid.
And this healing belongs to her. It is hers because of the operation of God and what Jesus has done. I command this to change by the authority of Jesus Christ that's in me. I command this congestive heart failure. I command this to change. These circumstances, the Amalekites that have come against, we're pursuing, and we're assured that we can overtake and that we can recover all, that her health would return, and that all that, all whatever, if it's blockage, I don't know all the technical terms, but whatever it might be, it be changed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Can you say that this belongs to me?
This belongs to me.
Because of what Jesus has done. It's because of what He's done. It is yours.
Right.
It's yours. Praise God. I believe it's yours. I believe you got it. Hallelujah. I believe you got it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can y'all agree with me? To agree with me? Agree, we're agreeing with the Word of God. Let's confess this together. It belongs. What's your name again?
I'm Fern.
Fern. It belongs to Fern.
It belongs to Fern.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
See, because He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And with Him, will He not freely give us all things? That includes health. Hallelujah. So she can be healthy. Thank you for it, Jesus. Be it so. By Your Word, be it so, Lord. Be it so. Be it so. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. We won't look to the lost, but we'll look to the Lord. You are life, and You come to give us life more abundant. In the name of Jesus, thank You for that abundant life. Thank You, Jesus. Restore her breath. You know why you can cross over the brook before? Because you know the Lord's already given you the victory. You know, she can with cheerfulness, whatever she's facing, she with cheerfulness can face that, knowing that Jesus has provided the healing. Hallelujah. I think it says in the Psalms, He that sits in the heavens and laughs, God laughs at those that would try to be our demise. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else that would... What is your name? Madeline. Okay. Well, you want to recover all of them, don't you? Thank you, Jesus. Ms. Madeline? Why does this belong to Madeline? Because Jesus provided it. I tell you, it's so important. What happens every time I look back to the cross. Every time I need to be healed, I look back to what Jesus has done. Because it's by His stripes you were healed. He's not going to be beaten again. Whenever an illness comes upon you, He's not going to go back to the cross. Just like when somebody comes, and I'll just use what the common phrase is comes to get saved. Jesus doesn't go back and die on the cross again. He already died on the cross. They are receiving that which has already been laid up 2,000 years ago. And it's the same thing with healing. When you receive it, it's because Jesus already bore the stripes 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. My, is God good all the time? Hallelujah. It's not part of the time. It's all the time. When you see that, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Praise God. Would you confess that and say, this belongs to me? Because of what Jesus has done. Thank You for it, Lord. Command this cataract to go. All those layers to be removed. That which the canker worm and the locust and the palmer worm, that which has been eaten away, God restored and recovered in Jesus Christ. I command health by Your authority, because I am seated with You in heavenly places in Christ. It's not me, it's you, Jesus. And we're your hands. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Hallelujah. I would encourage anyone that is pursuing, don't try to put a time frame on God. If it's instantaneous, praise God. If it takes a day, praise God. If it takes 2 days, you stand on the Word of God till you recover all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not getting in a real big hurry because she's important to the Lord. And I know we may have some time constraints, but praise the Lord. I don't want to get into a big hurry. Do y'all mind professing this one more time with us? This belongs to Madeline.
This belongs to Madeline.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Oh my. Already done. That's right. Thank
Already
you.
Done.
Praise God. Already done. Be healed. Hallelujah. It is hers in store. That means that you can withdraw from it. Withdraw. That word, I think it says, ask and you shall receive. That word ask means to make demand upon. That's like when you go to the bank and you're going to draw money out of the checking account that's yours. You can make demand upon it because it's your money. Well, guess what? It's been placed. Healing belongs to us because Jesus placed it into an account. He has reserved it for us so that we can receive it freely. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be healed. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah.
I want the curse of poverty broken on me and my family. I want to recover all.
All right. Praise the Lord. How many know that it's scriptural? Who was made a curse for us?
Jesus.
That was so we'd be redeemed, wasn't it?
Yes.
From the curse.
Yes.
And the curse, God, if you go back to, I don't want to spend too much time, but if you go back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, because of man's disobedience, God said, God placed, if you will, the curses on the ground and so forth, didn't He? He said that from the sweat of your brow, He said, and that the earth was no longer going to yield her fruit like it had before, but there was going to be thorns and thistles. There was going to these things that was going to try to and was going to devour your harvest. But that has been lifted in Jesus Christ. That is part of the recovery. It has been lifted in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You were made a curse for us. Thank you, Lord, that the spirit of poverty that has tried to keep her bound, Jesus come to set the captives free. I command it to go, to be loosed off of this family, off of their finances. You cannot, you will not, in Jesus' name, you will not take what has been given her, what has been paid for by Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, because Jesus recovered it all for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for prosperity. Thank you, Lord, that we are the head and not the tail. That we be blessed in our going out and our coming in. That was under an old covenant. That was under one that had no glory over in Corinthians compared to the glory which is in this new covenant. My God, I want to see God's people rise up and say, we will not stop until we pursue, overtake, and recover all. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to see God's people that will not be comfortable. Hallelujah. Until they are in that pursuit and knowing that they can recover all. Praise God. We've been robbed long enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I want to thank you guys. I appreciate It's a privilege to be able to share, because you didn't have to sit there. You sat there because you chose to, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you choosing to, that you felt like there was something that the Lord would speak through me that is going to benefit you and bless you. And Brother Glenn, I appreciate Glenn Miller. I appreciate you asking me to come. I appreciate it. I really do. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you for reminding me. Father, Lord, we thank you for this natural food that you've provided for us, Lord, and we always look to you knowing that you are a provider, or a protector, or a deliverer. Lord, that you're good all the time. And Lord, you're good at lunchtime even. Hallelujah. Thank you for this food. Lord, just bless the time of fellowship that we have together. Lord, and we stop and we honor you because you're honorable. Lord, we love you. Oh, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for victory. As we sang the song, Victory in Jesus, thank you for the victory in Jesus. We bless your holy name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.